All righty, how we doing? It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So I was thinking about this when I was watching Hard Knocks last night, and you had a love fest where it was a smoochy, smoochy fest where Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh were hugging, they were kissing, they were singing Kumbaya, and everything's great right now in Jets land. And I don't want that to come off in a negative way, because I think people will hear that, they go, oh, Zach's so miserable. Oh, Zach, why can't you let people just enjoy what's going on? The Jet fan should be positive right now. The Jet fan should be fired up for this season. Because outside of Super Bowl III, where the quarterback in Joe Namath said, I guarantee you, you're going to win, it's not as if the Jet fan has had a lot of moments to celebrate. And most of the Jet fans that are alive right now weren't alive for Super Bowl 53, Super Bowl III. So you look now, what, you had the 2 years where they went back-to-back AFC title games, but it wasn't as if you went into those seasons expecting the Jets to be a dominant force, and it wasn't like in the regular season for either of those years they were dominant forces. So this year, the Jet fan, like, put it this way, my best friend, I was talking to him today, he's a big Jet fan, and it does not take much for him to believe in his team and for him to hype up his team. And no, my best friend isn't Hickey. But when I was talking to my friend today, he goes, this is the first time I could genuinely believe and not talk myself into believing into a football team in his lifetime. And I said to him, I go, bare minimum, what's a successful season this year? And he gave me that look of, and he was about to say Super Bowl or bust. And then he goes, what I've been saying, they got to go win a playoff game. That's what he said. And I'm like, what, just the playoff game? And then I kind of talked him into agreeing with me, where I go, you got to get to an AFC title game. Because you have a short window here of 3 years where I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for 3 years, this year being one of them. And this year, you have to get close to that Super Bowl. And then he did say to me, my buddy, that it's the first time I could say, though, if I wanted to, Super Bowl or bust, and actually believe it. So Jets fans should be on cloud nine. Jets fans should be jumping up and down like fat kids in a candy store. It ain't going to be easy. You're in a gauntlet of an AFC East. You're in a ruthless AFC, but I do believe at the end of the year, the Jets will be in the playoffs, and the Jets can be a threat in the postseason. I would say right now the Jets win a playoff game this year, and then the Jets go home in round two. But they're either going to lose in the wild card round or the divisional round. But if you want me to say that this year was a success for the Jets, it's going to have to be bare minimum them in the AFC title game, because then you know, Hickey, if you lose this year, like let's say they get to the AFC title game against Kansas City and they lose 28-27, Mahomes goes on a late drive and you have a game-winning field goal or a walk-off touchdown or something like that. The Jet fan will then go into next year saying, Rodgers in year one was a success. He took less money. We'll fill in the blanks in the offseason. And then they could go get the job done. So I really do believe for the Jet fan this year, you could say Super Bowl or bust. You could believe that this team is going to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's going to be the case. But bare minimum, this Jets team has to get to an AFC title game. Because you only have a window to go win for so long. And it's not like you got to wait and wait and wait. And say, oh, 2 years of waiting, and then, oh, by year number three. Like, it's not one of those timelines. Year number three is when the Super Bowl should be the expectation. The expectation to win is now. But there's a difference in saying the expectation to win a Super Bowl is now, and then saying that's the only way that it could be a successful season. And that's why I keep on going back to bare minimum for me to say it was a success this year for the Jets is just getting to the AFC Championship game. And also having a good showing, Hickey, in the AFC Championship game.
For me, while I'm still at Super Bowl or bust, is I look at the Buccaneers, what happened with Tom Brady a few years ago, where very similar situation, downtrodden organization gets one of the best quarterbacks in the league to come to their team. And you look at the Buccaneers, year number one. I'm sure if Tom Brady got to the playoffs, they won a playoff game. Hey, success. That team, you know, still a lot of moving parts. Year two, Tom Brady's not going anywhere. Year three, they'll build to it. 2021 eliminated what? Round two? 2021 eliminated round two. 2022 eliminated the wild card round. Never got close to a Super Bowl again. So my point is, it's
but
a very short window.
He won the Super
window.
Bowl in year one.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if he didn't win the Super Bowl in year number one, he would have gotten a pass in year number one for not winning one. You assume, oh, we'll be better the next year and we'll get better. That was not the case of the Buccaneers, and I don't see why that would be the case with the Jets either, where you can think, oh, yeah, it'll be a linear sort of progression where we got Aaron Rodgers, we'll win a playoff game this year, and we'll only get better as we go.
Yeah, but the fact that they won, like that. The fact that they won the Super Bowl, like if they would have lost in the NFC title game that year, I could think the next 2 years are totally different. Because remember, when you win a Super Bowl, people exhale or priorities of, all right, winning, I already got that, so let me go cash in off that Super Bowl in the now, and you have a total changeover in the roster. So I don't think you could play that game that way once you do win the Super Bowl championship. But also, a big difference here, where I can't really compare Brady and Rodgers and what they did. Like, I understand what you're saying. The Jets have been a putrid organization. The Bucs were a putrid organization. Talent on both sides of the ball, and you felt like they were just missing a quarterback. You bring in Tom Brady, you know right away, the Brady standard is Super Bowl or bust. And he's the greatest NFL winner we've ever seen. The thing about Rodgers is I don't know if Rodgers is going to be able to win a second Super Bowl. Because without early in his career, Aaron Rodgers won that Super Bowl. And I know some years you could blame it on the defense in Green Bay. Other years you could blame it on coaching or special teams. But as of late, in the playoff games against San Francisco and against Tampa Bay, Aaron Rodgers didn't do his job. So there's no question about Brady in terms of clutch and in terms of winning. For Rodgers, I know he has one, and there's a lot of people that would just want one. But there is a question in a much tougher conference in the AFC. Can Aaron Rodgers be clutch, and can Aaron Rodgers win another Super Bowl? And that's a big question.
Right, which is why if you can't, like, I don't think the Jets, like, this is not a free year. This is not a situation where, okay, year number one, we'll kind of learn the system and we'll get everything organized. We'll see how far it can go, but we're kind of playing with quote-unquote house money. And then in year two, like you said, we'll fill in the gaps. We'll go from there. The sense of urgency has to be sky high right now. The window is already short as it is. If we're talking about maybe 3 years with a guy who has not been clutch, who has right now everything he wants going for him in the right direction, you got to go for it now, because just like the Bucs, you could say, oh, maybe they took it easy the next few years, whatever. Tom Brady's a guy, you know, is always winning, always worth the next one. And if you don't kind of get it and you miss your maybe one crack, you may get one crack, maybe. And maybe if that's this year and you miss it, then you'll be sitting there saying 3 years from now, you know what? I wish we went harder, or I wish we should have got that one in 2023.
Now, I'm a bit confused here, so just correct me if I'm wrong here. Do you think I'm giving them a free pass by saying bare minimum they have to be in an AFC title game? To be one of the final four teams remaining is still a pretty high bar.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying, like, I think the Jets brought Aaron Rodgers into a Super Bowl.
Sure.
So I'm saying if you're the Jets, you already have a base, maybe three cracks at it is. I'm just saying, like, you got to get, like, crack. Like, there's no, my point is this. There's no time to
waste.
Right. Basically, there's no time to get acclimated. There's no, like, free grace. There's no grace period. That's what I'm looking for. There's no grace period where year one is kind of like, we'll see what happens. The aura of still Aaron Rodgers being here is still there. It is Super Bowl or bust right now.
So you think it's a failure of the year for the Jets?
Yes.
If they lose in the AFC title game?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't say that. Remember, this is a team still that won seven games last year, and you're bringing in a new quarterback, and you're handing over the keys entirely to him. There should be a high standard, but I'm not going to sit here and crush the Jets if they lose by a field goal or they lose by a touchdown in the AFC title game. But what I will say is, when I'm watching Hard Knocks last night, very buddy-buddy, almost as if Rodgers, and we know he has all the power, is like this model in the way that we would drool over models, and Robert Saleh was like one of us drooling. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Saleh this year, because you think the Jets are going to miss the playoffs. I don't think that's going to be the case, but if you want to tell me the Jets don't win the AFC East, totally agree. I can understand that. I think they got a shot to win the AFC East. I think we're splitting hairs between the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. But then there's only three wild card spots. The AFC East does play up against one another, so they're going to beat up on one another. If you lay out an argument that the Jets are going to miss the playoffs, I wouldn't agree with it, but I won't crush you for it. The Jets, bare minimum for Saleh to be back next year, they got to have 10 wins and they got to be in the playoffs. And if they miss the playoffs, he'll be out of a job. So I'm starting to think about this a little bit. Five coaches under the most pressure entering the season. And I put my list together and I'm curious what you think about this here, Hickey. At number five, I think we define pressure in multiple different ways. But when everyone's anointing you as a playoff team or a team that people believe in, you got to deliver. And this offseason, I've heard a lot of positivity with the Lions. And Dan Campbell did a remarkable job last year. But in that weak NFC, you got to make the playoffs this year. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Dan Campbell. And I have a tie here for the fifth spot. Also, Mike McDaniel. I don't know if the Lions would fire Dan Campbell if they missed the playoffs this year. I don't. I think they should, but I don't know if they would. The Dolphins, if they missed the playoffs this year, even after making the playoffs a year ago and almost beating the Bills in the wild card round with Skylar Thompson, I do think they would get rid of Mike McDaniel because they have so much talent. And you have a window here where you have a few years to go for it. So if the Dolphins miss the playoffs this year, I would not be surprised if Stephen Ross goes for a big name at the head coaching position. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Mike McDaniel and also Dan Campbell. Four, it's Ron Rivera, new ownership coming in, and everyone's already assuming that most likely Ron Rivera won't be back next year. Three, Kevin Stefanski. I don't know where that relationship is at with Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski. If they don't make the playoffs this year, with how much they are paying Deshaun Watson and how many picks they gave up to get Deshaun Watson and a team that I don't want to call the Browns underrated because I don't have these high expectations for them. But if you look at that roster, that is a loaded roster. And when we talk about some of the better rosters in the NFL, I don't know if the average fan is really going to say the Cleveland Browns. But if you don't make the playoffs this year, even in a tough AFC North and a tough AFC, there's going to have to be a fall person here. And I could guarantee you this, it will not be Deshaun Watson because you gave up all those picks to go get him and then you gave him a guaranteed contract in like the worst circumstances. So I do think there's a lot of pressure on Stefanski. Two, and there's a reason I put this guy two, because I have higher expectations for this team than I do for the team that's in at the one spot. Brandon Staley, you could make the case that he should have been fired last year. You knew he wasn't going to because if the team just made the playoffs, they were going to bring him back. And I can't trust the Spanos family to make the right decision. Sean Payton wanted to be the coach there. He should be the coach right now. But I look at that Chargers roster. It is a loaded roster. They made the playoffs last year. They had an embarrassing performance after looking like they were going to blow out the Jaguars, and they choked that game away. But if Brandon Staley doesn't take a big step this year, I don't see you can continue to justify with all the talent that you have on both sides of the ball, him being the head football coach. And then at number one, it's Robert Saleh. The Jets, they're in New York. The Jet fan is drinking all the Kool-Aid right now with Aaron Rodgers. You cannot disappoint this year. And if Saleh doesn't make a big impression and a big jump this season, you know that the New York fan and the New York Jet fan is going to be livid. So those are five coaches that I have under pressure for this upcoming season. Hickey, anyone that you think should be on that list?
Three, actually, I think that are in consideration or maybe should be on the list. Number okay. One, got to start with your guy, Bill Belichick. The talk has been there. We see how he's handling Mac Jones and that quarterback situation. If they miss the playoffs again, under 500 again, we know the owner, Robert Kraft, is dead set on now getting back to success. And seemingly everything he's saying publicly is back to winning. And there's no, we'll say, use the word we used before, grace period for Bill. I wonder what happens if this is another bad year.
So I've been critical of Bill Belichick. If you listen to the show the last year, I did not agree with the approach heading into last year. And going into this year, I'm happy they got Bill O'Brien, but they still don't have a number one wide receiver. So they satisfied half of my wish for this upcoming season. I really do believe with what Bill Belichick has done in this league, being arguably the greatest head coach of all time, winning six Super Bowls for an organization that was once a joke, that he would get another season. And I think if Bill misses three seasons in a row, talk about getting the playoffs, then he would be out. But I still don't believe, and I've not come around on the likelihood, and I think the Patriots only win 8 or 9 games this year, that Belichick is not back next season. Number two, go ahead.
Let's stick with the tree, Josh McDaniels.
You know what? I was thinking of Josh McDaniels, and I think we're in lockstep with our opinion of Josh McDaniels, but I don't think Mark Davis is. And a lot of people wanted McDaniels out after 1 year, and I don't really think they improved that football team heading into this season, where you go from Carr to Garoppolo, so what? You get rid of Darren Waller, and Josh Jacobs isn't happy, and who knows when he's going to show up? I kind of feel as long as they are in a 3 or 4 win team, and I think they'll win at least 6 games, that McDaniels will be back, and then the intensity really in terms of the pressure that Mark Davis will feel on his head football coach won't pick up until next year. If that's fair or not, you could debate it. I'm probably in agreement with you. If it's a bad season this year, get rid of him because I don't believe in him as a head coach. But with that being said, I do think Mark Davis believes in Josh McDaniels and would be stubborn and would bring him back for a third year.
And finally, Dennis Allen. Because
it's one of those irrelevant names. You're not wrong.
But it's like you had the best quarterback in the division. The Saints, on paper, are the best team. And they like also the Saints, like he was hired from within because Sean Payton retired. It's not like the Saints actually went out and said, Dennis Allen, our next head coach. You wouldn't have a choice. I wonder if you liked him as DC. Now 2 years in a row, open division, especially this year, you have the quarterback advantage, can't get it done. Maybe he's gone. It should be gone.
Well, you could only really lose this season if you're the Saints. Now, you win a playoff game, I think you'd take it further than anyone expected. So there is a way to win. But if you just win the division, it's not like we're going to praise you for winning that division. You did what you were supposed to do. But if you don't win that division, there's no reason to bring back Dennis Allen. And can I give you a hot take here? Maybe this is in the moment.
Sure.
And I don't know if they would allow this with some of the lawsuits and everything going on in the litigious world. John Gruden's been around. Been around the Saints a decent amount. Could John Gruden, who I think is an overrated coach, would it shock you with Derek Carr? And who knows with the legal matter that could play a factor in it? Would it shock you if John Gruden next year is coach of the New Orleans Saints?
Right now it would, yes.
Because of the legal situation?
And he's just not a good coach.
Yeah, he's overrated. He won that Super Bowl. Give him credit after that. What has he really done in the NFL as a head coach? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do some first and goal with Raven safety, Marcus Williams, who joins us next.
For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. All you need is a computer and printer. Imagine mailing and shipping right from your desk, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, Stamps.com gives you discounts up to 84%. Sign up for Stamps.com today. Use code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have 4 downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, time to preview the Ravens. We'll do so with the man that plays for the organization. And of course, he's on the defensive side of the ball as a safety back in 2017. When he was drafted by the Saints, he was a second-round pick, 42nd overall last year for the Ravens, had 4 interceptions, and that, of course, is Marcus Williams. Marcus, always appreciate the time. Thanks for it. How are you?
Of course. I'm good. How about you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So last year, you moved over from the Saints to Baltimore. I know you had to deal with an injury, but you still had a good season when you were on the field. How do you kind of look back at year one with the Ravens?
I mean, it was a good year, man. I mean, we made a run. I mean, we made it to the playoffs. I mean, it ended short. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this year, coming out there and, you know, doing it all over again and getting to where we want to get to.
You've been in the league since 2017. As you get ready to embark on your 7th year in the NFL individually, where do you think your game is at?
I think I'm still growing. I think I'm still striving to get those accolades and, you know, to make those Pro Bowls all pros. And I have a lot more game in me. I mean, I'm so young and I haven't even peaked yet. So, I mean, I'm improving every single day, every single time I step on the field. And I mean, there's a whole lot that you know, is about to come.
Let's get to the next down. Marcus Williams with the Ravens here with us in the Zach Gelb Show. Last year we got to see the rookie year of Kyle Hamilton. What have you seen so far out of him in year one and as he gets set for year number two in the NFL?
Man, he came in ready. And you see his progression already from year one to year two. And I think he definitely stepped up and is more of a communicator. He's definitely a leader out there. He's everywhere. He can play up. He can play back. He can do just about everything. So I think he's going to have a great year this year. And once we put the pads on, come game one, we're going to see a whole bunch of what he can do.
We all know the type of player that Roquan Smith is, and you guys got him last year in a trade and then gave him the contract extension. What did Roquan Smith bring to what was already a good defense?
Man, he flies around. He's always trying to be the first one to the ball. I mean, if it's not me, it's him. No, I'm kidding. he's flying around. He's making plays. He's a leader. He sets the tone. And when you see him, he pops up the screen along with PQ. They both go hand in hand. That's a dynamic duo right there.
When you think of certain organizations, there's always like one thing that comes to mind. And when it's the Ravens, you know, at least the era that I grew up in, you always thought about those defenses. As a player now and you're number two there, do you take pride in that, trying to live up to that standard of the way that people associate the defensive side of the ball with the Ravens?
I think we just live up to our standard. We set a standard as a group, and, you know, we make an emphasis to come out each and every day to keep up our standard. I mean, those teams were those teams, and we are who we are. So when we go out there, we set our standard, and that's the brand that we're going to, you know, show on the field when it comes Sundays.
I like that answer, so then I'll follow up here, Marcus Williams. What is the standard for the Ravens defense this year?
Man, you're going to see us flying around, making plays, attacking the ball. We're going to pop off the screen. We have a lot of great talent, but you know our play is going to speak more than the words that I'm saying.
Let's get to the next down. Talking to Marcus Williams, safety for the Ravens here on the Zach Gelb Show. So the last few years, everyone's been talking about this Lamar Jackson contract. Now it finally gets done. How did you react to it when you saw that news in the offseason that this situation was taken care of?
Man, I was excited. I was like, shoot. I came there because I know Lamar Jackson is going to be there. And when he got there, I'm like, yes. I was excited. So, you know, my brother and my family, they're like, he signed his deal. And, you know, that, you know, was a highlight of the offseason for sure because one of the best quarterbacks in the game, dynamic quarterback, can do everything. Throw the ball. He's a phenomenal thrower. I can't wait to see him go out and ball this year.
Does it surprise you? Because, like, let me preface this by saying I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson. I'm a big believer in Lamar Jackson. But a lot of people are critical of him. Are you surprised by how many doubters there are with Lamar?
People are going to talk. There's always going to be doubters, and there's always going to be people who love him. Doubters and haters, they still watch him. And when he goes out there, he's still performing, and they can hate because he's doing great. So, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Let's get to the next down. Impressions of the offense so far going up against them. You guys made two big moves, landing Odell Beckham Jr. and then also drafting Zay Flowers. What has Odell and Zay brought to the team so far?
A lot of energy. You know, they come out there ready to go out here and perform. They don't take practice lightly. Hard workers. And I think they both have a chip on their shoulders. So, I think it's going to be a pleasant surprise when we come out there on game one.
When you look around, do you kind of sense that I know you've been close with other teams, and this team made the playoffs last year as well. Do you kind of sense that this team has everything they need to go out there and get that Lombardi Trophy?
Man, I think we have what it takes, but it's gonna start in practice. It's gonna start in the film room. It's gonna start doing the little things right going into this game and, you know, making less mistakes than the other team, and then that's just how you're going to win.
Last thing I'll ask you, I saw that Jadeveon Clowney, who's a free agent, was in for a visit, and Josina Anderson even reported that the Ravens made him a contract. If Jadeveon Clowney was to hit up Marcus Williams and say, why should I want to be a part of this defense? You know, why should I sign with the Ravens? What would you say to him?
I would say you with a group of young guys who are going to fly around and attack the ball and make a statement. So he wanted to come. We'll invite him. Got to come in and got to work. It's not, you don't just get the spot. You earn it.
I love that. Well, hey, really do appreciate the conversation today, Marcus Williams. Good health and good luck this upcoming season.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
There you go. Marcus Williams joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio from the Baltimore Ravens, getting set to enter his seventh season in the NFL and his second with the Ravens. We will take a time out here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And when we come on back, I want to get into a little bit about the future of the college football playoff. We touched on this a little bit earlier in hour number one, but what is the college football playoff going to look like with it appearing that the Pac-12 is on the verge of fading? I guess we could say they're on life support and they may only have a breath or two left. So we'll get into that conversation when we return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Poll question today has to do with the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets after episode one of Hard Knocks did come out last night with the slobber fest over Aaron Rodgers and then Zach Wilson. What was he eating there again, Hickey? What was the thing that you loved that Zach Wilson was chowing down on in the locker room at halftime of the Hall of Fame game?
An Uncrustable.
You eat those a lot?
No, I wish I did. I just make my own peanut butter and jelly and eat the crust. But
yeah, that's a thing. Like, that would be a good snack. I feel as if you were in elementary school or middle school, right? When you bring a brown lunch bag to school. And you get a little snack after whatever the sandwich was. I feel like that would be good. I was a big rice pudding fan, actually, when I was a kid. I would always like a peanut butter and just a peanut butter sandwich, no jelly on it, on whole wheat bread. And then I always enjoyed rice pudding. Still to this day, I enjoy rice pudding. I think rice pudding is an underrated snack. I'm a big rice pudding fan.
Going to go to the old folks home next? Jeez.
Maybe. I am 29 today, so
rice
I'm getting up there in age.
Rice pudding.
You don't like rice pudding?
I've never heard anyone under 50 even try rice pudding.
No, because you're not cultured. That's pretty simple. What happens?
Like chocolate pudding, like that's easily the way to go. That, like, why rice pudding over chocolate pudding? Do you hate chocolate pudding?
No, I like chocolate pudding. I like vanilla pudding too.
Rice pudding over vanilla and chocolate pudding.
Yeah, it's just something about rice pudding that I really do enjoy. And anytime I'm walking down the supermarket, and I know exactly where it is. It's in the back left corner. It's right next to the cheeses and right next to the frozen fruits. So I'm always there to go get my strawberries and my mangoes and my blueberries for my smoothies. I see the rice pudding and I go, "You beautiful son of a bitch." And
you
I go,
come
"Get
to
that
Papa.
Rice pudding."
You say that, come to Papa?
No, that just sounds weird.
Okay.
Especially you with that mustache sounds very creepy when you say
yeah,
come to
I would
to
not
Papa.
Say that to anybody. Then I would turn myself in.
They also have, I think they're called balance breaks right now, I believe is what it's called. It is it's a little circle, and there's three different sectors in the circle. And to the left, it's like raisins and peanuts. And then there's like a little like cheese bites as well. And there's one more thing that I forget. But when I see those two now, when I see that now, I think they're called balance breaks or balance breakfast or something. I don't know. But it's all snack in the middle of the day that's only like, I think 140, 160 calories, also very good. Those are my snacks these days. And the skinny pop popcorn. I am a fan of that popcorn. You can never have enough popcorn around the house.
I would agree with that. Do love good popcorn.
Now, I do have to try your cactus candy today that you got me.
Yes. When are we having the big taste test?
I'll eat the cactus candy at some point. But okay. You know what I'm jonesing for today? What I'm really craving?
Scorpion lollipop.
I will get to, well, you know what? Let's discuss the Scorpion lollipop right now.
Okay.
So let me real quickly give you the poll question. Will Aaron Rodgers be playing in the AFC Championship game this season? 38% say he won't make the playoffs. 47.9% say he'll lose in the wild card round and divisional round. And 14% say Aaron Rodgers will be in the AFC title game. So Two things. One, I'm really craving right now. Have you ever heard of this place, Chip City, in New York City? They have these delicious cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies? I have heard of Chip City. Never been there, though.
So they have a chocolate chip cookie. Then they have different flavors each and every day. But every day they have the chocolate chip cookie, which is brown sugar, cookie mix with dark chocolate chips, obviously. Then they have the triple chocolate cookie, which is a fudge cookie mix with dark chocolate, milk chocolate, and white chocolate chips. Then the specialties today is a s'mores cookie, which is a graham cracker cookie mix with dark chocolate chips and topped with marshmallows. I ordered that last weekend, did not meet my expectations. And I'm a big fan of s'mores.
Really? Oh, that's a shame.
It sounds delicious.
It does.
Put it this way. You know what that cookie was? It was the Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott of cookies. Where it was good, but you're hoping it was going to be great. And in the big moment, it didn't lead you to where you wanted to go.
Was the marshmallow gooey? Was there enough marshmallow?
Oh,
that's sometimes
a
problem.
It was gooey.
Oh,
it looked really good. It looked like it could lead you to a Super Bowl. And then interceptions galore. And it just wasn't as what I thought it was going to be. Now, there is a dairy-free trail mix today, which is an oatmeal cookie made with roasted peanuts, raisins, and mini chocolate chips. That actually sounds pretty good. There's a pina colada cookie, which is a coconut cookie with creamy pineapple filling. And then there is an orange and cream cookie today, which is orange cream sugar cookie stuffed with an orange cream cheese filling and drizzled with orange cream flavored glaze. Which cookie would you like? Because now I'm getting hungry. I'm going to order one of these cookies. Now, you've never had this before.
No, and I want to go to the s'mores, but you already talked me out of it.
And I feel like you are a traditionalist, so you'll go with the chocolate chip, but I think your face really lit up the most at the triple chocolate
chip. I was just going to say, I'm a traditionalist, but I actually stay away from a lot of the chocolate chip just because I think it's very, I don't say vanilla, but it's like very classic. You have a chocolate chip cookie all the time. Triple chocolate does sound very good.
Now,
that's my sweet spot.
This is an enormous cookie. It's not like
Insomnia? You ever have those?
Oh, these are bigger than Insomnia cookies.
Oh, these are big cookies.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm trying to explain this without sounding like an idiot. Like, if you just look at it at the circle, like by the design of the circle, it would not be enormous, but it is such a high up and thick.
Oh, it's heavy. Heavy cookie.
For example,
Levine.
You think the s'mores, let's go to the triple chocolate cookie, which is fudge cookie mixed with dark chocolate, milk chocolate, and white chocolate chips. How many calories do you think is in this cookie, if you had to take a guess?
350.
So it's 108 calories per serving. How many servings do you think are in this cookie?
Three.
Four.
Jeez.
So you're talking about 720 calories off this cookie. So basically, this just wipes away. This just wipes away me going to the gym today.
Is it the size of your face?
No.
It's not that big?
I got a big face here.
We're talking about a cookie that's 700 calories.
It's a heavy cookie.
It's serving size of four.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big-ass cookie.
It is a big-ass cookie. So which cookie would you like? What do you want? Because I'm going to place this order, and it usually comes within 15 minutes.
And the triple chocolate sounds good. Are you going to eat this on the air?
No. I won't eat this on the air. Do you want any milk with it, by the way?
No, they come with milk. They have milk there at Chip City.
Yeah, you could get whole milk.
Wow.
Skim milk, almond milk.
Respect.
Or oat milk. Or hot chocolate.
No, 1%? Come on. 2%?
I'm actually a big skim milk guy. I've always liked skim milk. Which, that's why, you don't have to worry about those things when you're like a twig.
Well, I've had skim milk before. Honestly, skim milk, 1%, 2% whole. Is there a truly difference in taste? I can't tell you that.
Okay, I'm going to go, you know what? I've had the triple chocolate cookie. The triple chocolate cookie is it looks really good. You know what? Hickey, I'm making you want the triple chocolate?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the triple. Well, how about this?
You want to split one?
Should we split here? Should we do halfsies on the triple chocolate and then on the traditional?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Oh my God, I put way too much in the cart here. I put two chocolate chips and one triple chocolate. All right, so I got one triple chocolate. And then I got one chocolate chip as well. So my order right now is a chocolate chip cookie, a skim milk, and then a triple chocolate. How much do you think that is? Without fees or anything.
Considering it feeds four, I'm going to say
$41. $41? It's cookies.
Yeah, but we're talking about a massive cookie.
No. It's 4 servings per cookie.
Right, no, I know, but I'm saying these are big cookies, so I'm assuming, and this is like...
You eat one, you're full.
Okay, $28?
If you're on the Aaron Rodgers diet, if you know what I'm saying, you could maybe eat two. $14.50. Not bad.
Oh, that's it?
For two cookies and milk. Now, let's see what the fees are here are. So, no thanks. I don't want anything else. So, this order now is, after fees, $20.88. How much are we tipping here, by the way? What do you think is a fair tip here, Hickster?
$5. I always like to tip heavy.
Okay.
It's in the tipping business growing up.
Gotcha. All right, so we place
our
order.
Who's picking this up, by the way?
You'll run downstairs and get it, right?
You
got to be someone in the newsroom that's going to be able to get it.
Just Marco.
Marco's had a tough week with the car and everything.
You know what? Marco can have my cookie if he wants. He's had a tough week. that's just the selflessness in me because he has had a rough
estimated week. Time of arrival, 8 o'clock. So that's perfect. So we could get on the air and then you could go run downstairs and get the cookie. We don't need your thoughts on... actually, we do need you for the 8 o'clock segment. So anyway, Hickey comes back from the desert and he gets me cactus candy. And then he also, which I didn't think you had this level in you. Because you come off as a very nice, kind person, and you get on the air and you're like, you always say that I won't try things. Well, how about I'm going to get you a scorpion lollipop? And there's a dead scorpion in the lollipop. So this is in my locker here at CBS Sports Radio. And I want to offer you a proposition here. Let's do football picks this year up against one another. And I kind of threw this out there yesterday, but you weren't giving me an answer. So I'm hoping you've had like 24 hours to think about it. If I lose football picks this year, we'll make 3 picks a week. Then I will eat the scorpion lollipop. If you lose picks, I've been begging you to try escargot, which I don't even think is a punishment because it's delicious. But you're like, oh, it's stale, oh, disgusting, blah, 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 I'm a child. Like I told one of my best friend today about the escargot and how you just hate escargot. He's like, what an idiot. So if you lose football picks this year, you eat some escargot live on CBS Sports Radio. And I think you will actually enjoy it too. So it's not really a punishment for you, but mentally you're just like so bleeped over the thought of eating snail.
Yeah, I'm out on snail, but okay, that's fair. We'll do it.
So you're in.
Well, I am in with one goal in mind, to win. I'm in it to win it.
I would hope so. I don't think anyone gets into a competition and goes, yeah, I'm in it to lose it. Anyway, this was on the Paul Feinbaum show. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey saying that changes to the college football playoff format need to be considered.
And here in the SEC, we wanted college football to be strong nationally, and we've not seen a West of the Rockies participant in the playoffs since, I believe, 2016. And so the expansion was about making sure we brought in Western football. Well, now what's happened is Western football has come into other conferences. The net of that is circumstances have changed. And I think it's wise for us to take a step back and reconsider what the format might look like given these changed circumstances.
And let's also hear Greg Sankey say the playoffs should still remain at 12 teams.
The access we've created through the 12-team format still seems wise, but maybe there are elements and specifics of what was decided when we had clarity around 10 conferences that might need to be adjusted given what's happening right now.
So there's no doubt about it with the way that we think college football is moving, where the Big 12's been able to survive. It looks like the Pac-12 is going to fade away. We'll see who, if any of these remaining teams end up joining the ACC, that the idea of the 5 Power 5 teams getting automatic bids, like even if the Pac-12 is able to find new members, I don't think it's going to be anywhere with the 4 that are remaining that people go, oh my goodness gracious, the Pac-12 is going to be in the same category of the top 4 conferences in college football where they deserve to remain on that pedestal. Now, like, don't get me wrong. We know the SEC and the Big Ten are the 2 preeminent conferences in the sport, but the Big 12 has done a good job since losing Texas and Oklahoma, or they're about to, in finding a way to replace some of those schools. And the ACC hasn't had anyone really leave yet because of the fact of their current contract and how expensive it would be to leave the ACC right now. So I think we're all in agreement here, Hickey, and maybe I'm wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong, because I know that you're always plugged into this stuff, that the four guaranteed spots into the college football playoff, or actually five, four should be for the core four conferences, SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and the Big 12, and then your best non-core four conference winner gets into a guaranteed spot based off the rankings into the college football playoff, and then you have five guaranteed spots, and then the other remaining spots are all kinds of like wild card spots, and you could pluck whatever schools and put whatever schools in there, whether it's Notre Dame or a few more SEC schools, a few more Big Ten schools. That's probably the best format here moving forward.
Absolutely. Four get in, four get the bye, so it's nice and easy, nice and clean. And the other eight teams, I like the group of five, automatic qualifier, no reason to change that. And now instead of six, you know, instead of six at large, you go seven, and we're good to go.
Now, let me be clear here. I don't think they should have ever gone to 12. I know why they go to 12. I was always saying if you're going to expand, maybe you go to eight at most. I would reduce the teams from 12 and realize that you just made a mistake. But Hickey, earlier, and I know we only got like 45 seconds left, you said now it makes more sense than ever to stay at 12 and go to 12. Why is that, real quickly?
Because you're going to have teams that barely play each other. SEC and the Big Ten have 16 teams in each conference. There's going to be plenty of years where Alabama won't play Georgia or won't play Oklahoma, and Ohio State won't play USC. And if you have it where tiebreakers and, you know, just going to be the two highest teams in the conference, we could see, I think, plenty of years where there's three teams at 11-1, they don't play each other, and you get screwed.
Outside of an independent like Notre Dame getting in, out of those seven, I think it's seven, right, remaining? Or no, is it eight remaining spots that are? Oh, no, because you have the five with the non-group of five, the non-power five or power four now. So with those spots remaining, the wild card spots, do you think we'll see Big 12, and do you think we'll see ACC teams get in?
I do think so. One or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think one would be max after the guaranteed one, because it's going to be a ton of SEC and it's going to be a ton of Big Ten.